I'm former Vice President Joe Biden. The Philip D. Blackman Show is going to kick me in the nuts tonight because I suck as a president. Enjoy the show as I try to remember who shit in my pants.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Philip D. Blackman, host of the Philip D. Blackman Show. Join me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday right here at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. But in the meantime, friends, buckle up, get your mind right, and get ready for the fastest hour in radio. Thank you for tuning in. Let's get it started.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. That's right, friends. Thank you so much for joining me, man. My name is Philip Blackman, and welcome to another episode of the Philip D. Blackman Show. I'm your host, Philip D. Blackman, and welcome to the fastest hour in radio. You know, words matter. Whether you want to believe it or not, words matter, you know, and that's kind of the thing that we've always tried to understand as far as our communication goes. Whether you're speaking words in front of a camera or you're talking to a room full of attendees to an online audience, to members of a board of directors, maybe your coworkers, your clients, your stakeholders, or an entire nation, words themselves are not inherently offensive. Words mean absolutely nothing, ladies and gentlemen, without a little bit of context that surrounds them. And that's that context that really determines what words mean when you really try to look at it. So, ladies and gentlemen, continuing our Reshaping America series tonight, we're going to discuss how exactly we're seeing a continued reshaping of this once great nation by deliberately redefining words for the sole intent of normalizing the lunacy that we're seeing in our society. Ladies and gentlemen, before we get there, I want to let you know we do have our show up and running right now. All over Facebook, right here at the Philip D. Blackman Show. Same thing over at Twitter Facebook and YouTube is the Philip D. Blackman Show. Twitter and Twitch is at the PDB Show. And of course, we are on LinkedIn right now, doing what we can to offend the masses the best we can. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for carving out a piece of your Wednesday hump day. Thank you for joining episode number 284, Reshaping America by Redefining Language. Now, friends, if you want to leave a comment or you want to participate in the show, social media are great options that I've just given you. You can share the show. I highly recommend sharing the show. That way we can try to inform the masses. But more importantly, guys, I can also share your comment by commenting on the social media platforms. Or here's another option. You can call or text the show at any time to the number on my screen at 409-245-9753 from Melissa's across the airwaves or across the radio. Guys, that is 409-245-9753. So to all my listeners across the nation, around the globe, thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate you joining the Fastest Hour on Radio, episode number 284, Reshaping America, Redefining Language. So guys, for my first-time listeners, we've dedicated the opening segment of each show, and we call it End of Watch. This is our way of honoring our fallen men and women in the law enforcement community. Last year, 2021, we had 639 officers die in the line of duty, and as of this show, we're at 175. Now, that is a number that we get through the Officer Down Memorial page. If you know a better place where we can get more up-to-date numbers, that's the best we have. 175 officers die in the line of duty just this year. You know, we support our law enforcement. We do. And we recognize that these folks, you know, they step into a very thankless job most of the time. And if you go to the ODMP website, you can see it right there, that great big quote. And it's so powerful. We agree with it hands down that when a police officer is killed, it's not just an agency that loses an officer. It is an entire nation. We honor all of our officers who serve. We honor those who have given their life for their community, for their country. And we highlight a different officer every week, beginning with our Monday show. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue honoring Pima County, Arizona's Constable Deborah Martinez Garibay in this opening segment. End of watch.
The Philip D. Blackman Show proudly salutes Constable Deborah Martinez Garibay, 43, of the Pima County Constable's Office in Arizona, who was shot and killed on August 25th, 2022, while serving an eviction notice at an apartment complex. Constable Martinez Garibay served her department for just 5 short months. She also spent 16 years in the United States Army and ran the Tucson chapter of an adaptive golf program for veterans called PGA Hope. When asked in a March interview by The Star why she wanted to join Pima County Constable's office, she said, "I just felt it was wrong for me to sit at home when I knew that I could contribute. I knew that I had to go serve my country, and it's the same thing with serving my community. I can see a need. For me to sit and watch things happening in my community or my country and not take part is wrong." Constable Martinez Garibay is survived by her husband, daughter, parents, siblings, and numerous nieces and nephews. On behalf of the Philip D. Blackman Show and a grateful nation, thank you for your service, Constable Martinez Garibay. Pima County, Arizona Constable Deborah Martinez Garibay. End of watch, August 25th, 2022. Rest in peace, ma'am.
We are proudly sponsored by One of a Kind Art 43, created by professional artist Tammy Blackman. Tammy offers free consultations and will customize your art piece to fit your needs. Each of her pieces are, as the name suggests, is one of a kind because each are personalized pieces, and once she is done, there will never be another. If you are interested, go visit Tammy on her social media pages, Facebook and TikTok, by searching One of a Kind Art 43, where Tammy broadcasts her work and she's making custom tumblers or canvas art for another satisfied customer. You can always reach out to Tammy through her email at oneofakindart43@gmail.com or call 409-234-5156. Although the prices vary, the quality is unmatched. Again, her social media pages are one of a kind with underscores between each word, followed by the word art and the number 43. Thank you again, Tammy, for another presence on this show.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Ronnie, how happy are folks who save hundreds of dollars switching to Geico?
I'd say happier than a camel on Wednesday.
Hump day!
Get happy. Yeah! Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
All right, guys. So again, happy Wednesday. Thank you for tuning into our show. Man, I'm excited for episode number 284, Reshaping America by Redefining Words. But I do see we have a few people in here that got their clown shoes. They took their clown juice this morning. Robert Williams says, look at that smile. He said he loves that former vice president is a fan of the show. You know, it took a little bit of effort to get Joe Biden, to do that recording for me. And I'm so thankful that he, you know, was open enough to support someone other than other than a MAGA Republican. But guys, again, to all of you listening across the nation, around the world, thank you so much for joining me. So hey man, I got some good news, man. So let's see, Monday will be my first show on Pulse Talk Radio, radio show out there and out in the UK. So I'm international now, ladies and gentlemen, so I'm kind of pretty stoked about that. But in the meantime, before we get there, have you realized that the thought police, they're watching you, right? They're making sure you're inside their circle of trust, their circle of influence, if you will. You know, back in the 1990s, there were a lot of jokes that went around about political correctness. And almost every single person who's ever watched the conversation about euphemistic language by George Carlin, they all thought it was really funny, myself included. But unfortunately, there's very few people today who's laughing right now because political correctness has become the way of life in America. I mean, if you say the wrong thing, you could lose your job. You could rapidly end up in court, or God forbid, you could wind up finding yourself part of the cancel culture. Every single day, the mainstream media bombards us with these subtle messages, and they make it clear about what's appropriate or what's inappropriate. And most Americans, they just quietly fall in line with this unwritten speech code. You know, as much as people talk about, you know, not me, I'm going to stand up, they're going to do X, Y, and Z if the government does A, B, or C. When the reality is, well, look what happened. If you want to know just how easy it is for this government to tell you what to do and to make you do what you want to do, man, just look back at the lockdowns from the Chinese virus. Let's look at those. People gladly gave up. They gladly put on the face diaper. They gladly fell in line. And that's exactly what we're seeing with this speech. But just because it's not written down somewhere, you know, it doesn't mean that it's not real. It's very real in our country. You know, as a matter of fact, this speech code, it becomes more restrictive and more suffocating with each passing election year. You know, the goal of these, here's your air quotes for the show, thought Nazis. You know, these thought Nazis that we're seeing, the political left, the drive-by media, they want to control what people say to one another. Because eventually that's going to shape what most people think. And if most people start to think a certain way, they're going to start to behave, they're going to start to believe a certain way. And if you are able to control what they say, you can control what they think, you control what they believe, and consequently you're going to end up controlling how they behave. Now, if you don't think this is true, I want you to just try this experiment. You know, just give it a try. As a matter of fact, if I can convince my wife to let me embarrass her just a little bit, I'm going to do it. I'm going to have Tammy record it because I think this is a very interesting idea. Now, look, this happens only in Philip Blackman's imagination, but I want you to stick with me. Follow this experiment with me visually if you can, because I don't think I'm very far wrong. So here's my challenge. Go to a public place if you want to, you know, because we're always starting these dumbass TikTok challenges, right, where people are doing stupid stuff for no reason at all. Let's do one like this. Here's my idea. I want people to go to a public place where there's a lot of people that's gathered, and I want you to hear out something horribly politically incorrect, like, I love Jesus. I love Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for giving me this day. We are one nation under God. Say any of those politically incorrect things and watch how the people that are going to hear what you say, watch them. Watch them cringe. You know, the name of Jesus has become a curse word in our politically correct society. And we've been trained to have a negative reaction to it in public places. Now, after you're doing that, walk around for 5-10 minutes. You know, let the crowd shift a little bit. I recommend doing this at a grocery store, right? Then the second video that I want you guys to send me, I want you to yell out something that's politically correct, such as, I support gay marriage. I support abortion. Her body, her choice. If you don't have testicles, you don't have a voice in a conversation. Any of those things. And watch what happens. Chances are you're probably going to get a bunch of smiles, right? And quite a few people, some may even approach you and express their appreciation for doing what you did and saying what you just said, because now you're a hero. Now, of course, this is going to vary depending on what area of the country you live in, but hopefully you get the idea. Billions of dollars of media programming, that's what it is. It's changed the definitions of what people consider to be acceptable, what people consider to be not acceptable. Political correctness, that is what shapes the way that we communicate with each other each and every day. And it's only going to get worse in the years ahead. But sadly, I really believe that most people, they have no idea what's happening to them because they're stupid. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking to you, the American voter. Chances are 9 out of 10 of you are just absolute dumbasses. Yeah, you jump onto these social media narratives, you jump onto these catchphrases, you jump onto these headlines, and you have no idea what the substance, you have no idea what's happening because you don't care. Because you trust the government, you trust the media, and you're just going to take their word for it. It's all about that clickbait, and you are addicted to the chaos porn, which is why you are a big part of our problem. Now, Casey Starkey says that this project won't work in Burnett, Texas. Now, Casey, you can't just give me a comment like that without really expounding. So, again, to all of you listeners, man, 409-245-9753 is the number. Or, Casey, if you got the thumb power, man, I want to see, write it down for me. Tell me why you don't think that that my example, my experiment would work in Burnet, Texas. Because I would almost, like I said, it does change based off your geographic location. But I believe hard and fast, 9 out of 10 times that this is done, you're going to get that exact reaction. I love Jesus. People are going to cringe. You say, I support gay marriage. People are going to high five. Yeah, you're such a hero. You're so woke. You know, the members of this Democratic Party, man, they have become the most proficient in the world at repeated vocabulary manipulation by contorting, by uprooting, and twisting the traditional meaning of words to suit their political agenda. You know, they intend to do it, and it's all very deliberate. And it's a very malice aforethought, you know, to gaslight, to distract, to deceive you uninformed, apathetic, uneducated Americans to fulfill their warped-minded, destructive agenda. It is exactly happening. Now, Casey, you say that he writes in the chat, he says, I can't say why because my answer isn't politically correct. Well, Casey, good news is neither am I. And last time I checked, this is the Philip D. Blackman Show. I can pretty much say whatever I want, and I can have my guests say whatever they want, but you got to expect that I'm going to challenge you if you come out with some outrageous shit, but I would love to hear it because I don't care about political correctness, because that is the reason I'm doing this show, because we've become so politically correct that great Americans like you, Casey Starkey, you are afraid to say what is on your mind because you don't want to be doxxed, and I get it. Look, I'm not trying to challenge you into a debate or anything like that, but what the idea is if there's a listener out there who happens to see the name Casey Starkey and the comment that's here, there's a possibility they're going to try to dox you or maybe call your employer if you say anything. So I get it. And that is the point right there. People are afraid to speak the truth because they're afraid of the repercussions, because people need a job, and people are getting, they're losing their jobs, they're losing their livelihoods because they're speaking against the narrative. And quite frankly, here's the issue, right? It's not dissimilar to what the communists and the Nazis used to do, the very same thing. For example, Soviet Russia, pravda, meaning truth. That was the propaganda mouthpiece of the Communist Party, that they never, ever told the truth. Not a single truly democratic Western country ever added democratic to their title, such as the Democratic Republic of France. Yet almost all of these states they subjugated to Soviet Russia had like the German Democratic Republic or the Polish People's Republic or the Hungarian People's Republic that did not ever, ever represent the Polish or the Hungarian people. As what's happened under both the communists and the Nazis, all that the media was complicit in brainwashing these people to conform to the will of the party through these unbridled lies and the subterfuge. You know, the media, it's become the most unflinching and important propaganda arm of the communist and Nazi parties. Now, in the United States, you know, just for the last 60 years, all mainstream media, I don't care who you follow, all mainstream media from CNN to Fox to MSNBC to ABC to CBS, NBC, the social platforms, academia, and even we're seeing a lot of clergy. They've been successfully infiltrated by the leftists and these unpatriotic enemies of this country. There's absolutely no doubt that the United States of America is currently undergoing the worst social, political, educational, economic, military decline in the history of the Republic due to entirely the totally failed decisions of this Biden administration in every field mentioned. And to cover up for these blatant disasters, the Democrats, they've been resorting to redefining the meaning of different words that have been in standard usage for decades to convince at least 38% of the brain-dead Americans that Joe Biden and his administration, that is what's best for the American people. I covered it in my last In my last Reshaping America series, that they have painted this picture that if Joe Biden does not remain in office, this country will die. I tend to argue the other way. But to achieve these drastic changes in literature, all the fake and criminally negligent media, they're shamelessly in lockstep with the current fascist Democratic Party. So what I want to do is I want to share with you some of the words that really have been turned inside out or upside down to suit the agenda in this opening segment, The Breakdown. right, so before we get into it, here it is. Casey responds. He says, oh, I've lost jobs for being politically incorrect, but I'm saying is the Burnett, in Burnett, the reaction of people would be polar opposite of what the reaction of most people in Austin. Well, there you go. Yeah, now, as I said, words matter and context applies. Absolutely, because I got, you know, if you're Austin actual, absolutely, that's, you might as well say that in California, but just on the out on the suburbs out there where you country folk live, different criteria. Tammy says the redefining words is what drowning people do. Tammy, I would love for you to expound on that if you can. You know, that redefining words what drowning people do, because that's a very interesting comment, and I'm very curious to know what you mean by it. Again, you can also call into the show or anyone, or you can continue to write at 409-245-9753. Friends, episode number 284, Reshaping America, Redefining Words. Here's what I mean. So the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, it's probably the greatest example that I can think of. They've changed definitions for female and male and they and boy and girl to fit with gender identity ideology. Now, look, I get it. These changes were made back in 2019 and 2020, but female, the word itself in Merriam Dictionary, right here it is on the screen, it's primarily defined in the online dictionary as, quote, of relating to or being the sex that typically has the capacity to bear young or produce eggs. Number one, A, of relating to or bearing sex that typically has the capacity to bear young or produce eggs. Now, so I guess what they're saying is that not all females, that's why it's typically, they typically have the capacity, not all females, they argue, can bear young or produce eggs. So, it in its own weird way, what they're saying is, well, because not all females can have children or can have eggs or that can produce eggs, then that should fit the transgender too, because you know what? They can't bear young or produce eggs. But in the secondary definition, it says right down here under 1B. 1B says, quote, having a gender identity that is opposite of male. That is what a female is. It is a gender identity. Now, okay, so similarly, the definition of male, it also reads as having a gender identity that is the opposite of female. That is there. That is under 1B as well. The gender identity is opposite of a female. So really, in addition to including, you know, gender identity as a legitimate definition for male and female, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, it also adds the words typically has the capacity to both the original definition of female as the sex that bears young and produces eggs, to the original definition of the male, that the sex that produces relatively small, unusually motile gametes which fertilize the eggs of a female. Now, these changes, they suggest that there's an agreement somewhere within the transgender community's contention that it's a person's gender identity that's legitimate, even if the person doesn't have the same physical characteristics or capabilities as the gender they claim to embody. This redefinition of male and female, this right here in itself, it's ultimately as an attack on the concepts of objective truth and reality. And it truly reflects the culture's dismissal of the biological reality of a male and a female as transphobic or even dangerous. And, you know, this definition, it even continues Merriam-Webster's trend of wokeness, where they found that the pronoun they, that's right, T-H-E-Y, which, you know, typically says in the first one here, those ones, those people, animals, or things used to refer to people in the general way, or a group of people who are not specified. But one of the definitions says, they is a single person whose gender identity is non-binary. And it's the word of the year in a nod to the non-binary community. And it similarly added that gender identity to its secondary definitions of boy or girl to read that a child whose gender identity is male and a person whose gender identity is a female. So Tammy says in the chat, she says the example where she's talking about the redefining words, what drowning people do, she says the word that we would typically use for someone who is sexually attracted to children is no longer acceptable. They are now minor attracted persons. Now, doesn't that sound cool? no one wants to defend being a pedophile. And you know what, Tammy, you're absolutely right. And I love the fact that you brought up, because now instead of calling them pedophiles, people who are have a sexual attraction to children, they're now being called minor attracted persons. Because like she said, it doesn't make it sound so dangerous, because they say that, well, hey, not everyone who is attracted to a minor is a pedophile, but all pedophiles are MAPs, are minor attracted people. Weird, right? So besides this whole redefining, and Tammy, now I understand your point, and you're absolutely right. I didn't understand the analogy with the drowning people, but hey, that is absolutely on point that they are changing it to make things more chic, more risque. But besides defining the words in the dictionary that we're seeing in the mainstream, the dictionary itself, I argue, is just a trial run to see if it's going to stick. And, you know, really, since they didn't see a lot of pushback in the lunacy, they figured, man, what the hell? They've probably grown accustomed to changing words for the sake of changing them, as long as they get them to fit whatever narrative that they need. And so here's a good example right here. Woman. You know, not even a Democrat Supreme Court nominee, Ketanji Brown Jackson, she wasn't even willing to defer to define the word woman, because with the most asinine disqualifying excuse in judicial history, she's not a biologist. Though for 500,000 years of human evolution, people knew exactly who and what a woman was. But yet it's such a total disregard for reality and justice that she was elected not for her Ketanji Brown Jackson. She wasn't elected for her doubtful judicial qualifications, but she was elected based purely on racial and political reasons. That's it. End of story. Next slide. How can any clear-thinking American out there really expect Ketanji Brown Jackson to make a rational decision on abortion, gender, race, etc., that include women and men, to be considered when she can't even define what it is that a woman is? Casey Stargate says, I just found out my gender pronouns are fee, fi, fo, and fum. I'd like to probably throw Eclipse in there, because you are a large human being. And, of course, Tammy understands just like I do. All right, so, you know, another term that's been really just molested and trampled is the word progressive, right? I mean, in reality, if you pay attention to what the Progressive Party's doing, there's absolutely nothing progressive with the followers of the Democratic Party, since they are, in fact, in reality, totally regressive. They're wanting to go back. They are calling, once again, for segregation. We need to have graduations. We need to have ceremonies. We need to resegregate everyone, to let everyone have their own safe space. That is a progressive ideology that is totally regressive for our country. Antifa is another one. This one has and always will bother me, because in short, this whole idea of Antifa is anti-fascist, when again, they actually represent the Nazi type brown shirts of the Democratic Party. And even Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. said that, quote, Antifa is an idea, not an organization. Therefore, they can't be grouped in with others. Communism and Nazism, I'm going to go ahead and make the argument for Joe as well, those are ideas as well. But so why are you going ahead and calling your neo-Nazi parties your domestic terrorists, but not your Antifa weenies? I'm not real sure. You know, going back to my definition of man, you know, according to progressives, you know, a man can menstruate, a man can bear children, because there's this demented political agenda that overrides 500,000 years of biological evolution. You know, gay, the word gay, it was originally meant of feelings of being carefree and happy or bright and showy. But now its most common accepted use of the word gay primarily refers to a sexual orientation, a homosexual person, or the trait of being homosexual. That's gay. You know, illegal immigration. You know, the term is no longer provided for illegal immigration. It's no longer politically acceptable, because it might reflect negatively upon some poor, misunderstood migrant who enters the United States illegally seeking a better life. And their very first step as one who comes into our country is breaking the law. But hey, we need to be nice to them. They're not bad people. They're not criminals. As they break a law within the first step of our country, the liberal left, it now identifies them as undocumented migrants or actually unregistered Democrats. Let's call them what they are. You know, husband and wife used to be pretty synonymous, you know, but leftists want to use the term with a more gender neutral term, like a married couple or a spouse or some other non-offensive term. Who is offended by husband and wife? I mean, the word crisis gets thrown around all the time. And according to Democrats, there's no such thing at the southern border as a crisis. It's called a challenge. There's no such thing as border security. It's border safety. Legal and illegal has been replaced with authorized and unauthorized. Migrant children are being held in reception centers, not cages. But they were in cages when Donald Trump was in office, when they were in reception centers when Joe Biden and Barack Obama were in office. Can you see what's happening? Sexual preference, to Tammy's point. It's been weaponized by the left as being as a homophobic slur. Their preferred version is now sexual orientation. So these people who are sexually attracted to minors, you can't say that their sexual preference is kids, because that it's homophobic. We got to say that these people who are sexually attracted to kids, now they have a sexual orientation for kids. But by all means, don't ever call them pedophiles, because that's not accurate according to the liberal left. Graveyards, graveyards are now called memorial parks because we don't want to offend the dead. Aged people, old people, you're no longer old, you're chronologically challenged. You know, racism, it's been diluted and it's been made meaningless since it's no longer based on religion or color or creed, but on a political or social orientation. Anyone who challenges the liberal left's agenda, they're branded a racist. Yo, Islamophobia, and Tammy, Antifa weenies, that's exactly what they are. Well, we can't really say that they're Antifa weenies, because that's kind of hateful against those that are Antifa and have vaginas. I don't know. This is not really, again, this is not my political show. But Islamophobia, right? That is an oxymoron, to fear Islam, which intends the extermination of all humans who refuse to submit to Allah's Sharia, but it's not an irrational fear according to the reality of life. And then we talk about the one that really blew me away was the Asia murder hornets. Do you remember that during 2020? We had the COVID vaccine or the COVID pandemic running wild. And then we're like, man, not only do we have a virus that's going to kill millions and millions of people, now we have murder hornets. And it was an Asian murder hornet. I mean, who knew that the most dangerous thing about a murder hornet was the name? You know, scientists actually come out and they announced that the terrifying insects, the official moniker Asian giant hornet, has been changed to a northern giant hornet. Why didn't they just call it from the east? Because we know that China is always in the east. You know, let's go ahead and go with it. But no. But they say it's an effort to prevent the anti-Asian hate crimes. Are you kidding me? Asian murder hornets, by changing the name, you're going to stop the Asian hate crimes. But we don't, I'm supposing you should probably, if you're talking about the majority of Asian hate crimes, it's not white people that's committing those, but we don't want to talk about that at all, do we? I'll let you go ahead and look that up for yourself. Who, what, and you know, I'll tell you what, you know, 20 points for anyone out there who can tell me who commits the most Asian hate crimes. And it's not white people, but, you know, look it up, because I'm telling you, you know, amid this rise in hate crimes and discrimination against people of Asian descent, this usage of Asian in the name of a pest insect, they say it can unintentionally bolster anti-Asian sentiment. No, it's an anti-Asian bug that people hate. You know, monkeypox is another one that's really blowing my mind as well, because we're losing our mind. The World Health Organization says that it actually... This is how you know social media has really gotten out of control and it rules everything in our life. When the WHO said it was holding an open forum to rename the virus monkeypox, after some critics raised concerns that the name could be considered discriminatory or stigmatizing. So in the new name they proposed, it should minimize the negative impacts on nations, geographic regions, economies, and people that considers the evolution and spread of the virus. So the scientists, they actually proposed a neutral name that accounts for the evolution of the virus. And they say, quote, in context of the current global outbreak, continued reference to and the nomenclature of this virus being African is not only inaccurate, but it's also discriminatory and stigmatizing. The most obvious manifestation of this is the use of photos of African patients to depict the pox lesions in mainstream media and the global north. Now, I mean, lest we forget that most viruses like this one here, the monkeypox, you know, it's given their nomenclature based off their origin region, but we have to make everything about race when it comes from any other place but where white people live. I mean, the Center for Disease Control, it notes that the source of monkeypox, it is unknown despite the virus being named in 1958, when there were actually two outbreaks of a pox-like disease that occurred in colonies where monkeys were kept for research. It was called monkeypox. Now, prior to 2022, this monkeypox case had almost always linked international travel to countries where the disease is common or through imported animals. The first human case of monkeypox was in 1979, and today we're worried about this racial stereotype. So for whom is it that the left is worried about offending? I mean, it seems to me the political left is the only entity who makes these connections first. I mean, is this a case of whoever smelt it dealt it? I mean, does the political left make the connection because they are the true racist and they are the ones who offers these changes to atone for their sins? I mean, it seems their outrage is more of a self-hate prophecy than it is anti-racism, because there's nothing wrong with calling a virus by its origins in the first place. The only ones who thought to change monkeypox and Chinese virus to something less offensive were the racists who made the change. Prove me wrong. In 2019, pop singer Rihanna, she was criticized for her use of the term spirit animal. You hear it a lot. People say, well, this person is my spirit animal, or that is my spirit animal, and referencing where she was referencing her bond with her dancer and her choreographer. And she was called out for misappropriating a sacred concept in indigenous cultures. Huh? It reflects a larger issue of being cognizant of using symbolism and words sacred to certain cultures in casual manner that could be deemed offensive. We have to watch everything we say, because to say spirit animal, now we're mocking the indigenous people. Old people, I said it, I was talking about it earlier. You know, when it comes to talking about age, it can be a touchy subject for some. Me, hey, look, man, I am, you mean primate dermis irritation. Aaron, is that your term, or is that your own scientific word, or is that someone else's? That is an ouch. Man, I like that, primate dermis irritation. Yes, got skin problems. All right, so getting back to these old people, right? The term old, you know, it can seem to some, it can be seen as offensive, you know, something that's obsolete and decrepit to say that someone is old. I mean, I'm 43 years old and I'm okay. I'm happy to be 43 years old, just like some of you out there. You're happy to be the age you are. But some don't like that words like senior or elderly either, because, you know, old people, they apparently have feelings too. Who would have thought? Like, I mean, these connotations are formed by how a culture sees aging, simply by adding ER at the end of old, like in older adults. They say that makes it softer, right? I'm no longer old, I'm older. And so if you change the word, you change the behavior. But signifying the actual age range that you're talking about, like 75 and older, say, it negates the words. It negates the needs for words like old or senior. If you just, you know, hey, let's include everyone. The one that got me the out of this list that was driving me crazy was the term tone deaf. A lot of you probably heard this before. You know, using a phrase to indicate that someone probably misread a situation or said or did something inappropriate or thoughtless or inconsiderate links deafness with something negative, meaning that someone has failed at it. There's someone has failed at hearing. So the argument is, it's part of a broader problem known as ableism. So we can't say someone's tone deaf because we're creating a discrimination of social prejudice against people with disabilities. Has anyone ever in the history of anything ever heard someone say, hey, that dude right there is tone deaf? They don't know how to read the room. So are you telling me that people who are illiterate or who are deaf, that we're attacking them because there's something wrong with you if you're illiterate or you're deaf? Yes, there's something wrong with you if you are illiterate or if you are deaf. It is not normal to be deaf or illiterate, and there's nothing wrong with the idea. But the idea, this whole notion around tone deaf, it speaks to the concept of people first when talking about someone's disability or an illness. And you know, it's a person on the autism spectrum instead of an autistic person. Do you see what they're doing? I mean, there's dozens more that can be included. But the above list that I just gave you, it makes the point. I mean, Democrats, they're literally turning America upside down with their word redefining literacy engineering. For a stable society to exist, there must be a common language with commonly accepted and understood terms. So creating this new definition for existing words or creating new words entirely, it's being used by Democrats to redefine the republic. And tragically, major corporations, dictionaries, they're insanely following the lead of these regressives that are out there. You know, these Democrats, they succeed only when they can subdivide American society into adversarial components to rule over them while pretending to protect each and every one of them. You know, these Democrats, they need to make Americans totally dependent on the federal government by eliminating self-reliance. I mean, without conflict or turmoil, Democrats, they can't advance their drive to a socialist society. I mean, as George Orwell said, he said that political language is designed to make lies sound truthful and murder respectable and to give an appearance of solidarity to pure wind. You know, the USA today, it's a dystopian state where only removing the Democratic Party from power to help save the republic is what is required. We have, what, 56 days before the elections come up. Guys, this is, if we're going to stop this lunacy, this is how we're going to do it. We got to take back over language and take our power back from these bastards. Guys, that is the breakdown. Thank you so much. We are going to take a quick, looks like we're going to take a quick 60-second break, and we'll be back with you right on the other side.
Huh. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Everybody knows that.
Well, did you know that game show hosts should only host game shows?
Samantha, do you take Kevin as your lawfully wedded husband?
Or would you rather have a new car?
Say hello to the season's hottest convertible. Oh, and say goodbye to Samantha.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
When you have cable and your picture freezes, you get irritable. When you get irritable, your work suffers. When your work suffers, the wrong man is convicted. When the wrong man is convicted, he has time to think. When he has time to think, he thinks about you a lot. And when he thinks about you a lot, your house explodes. Don't have your house explode. Get rid of cable and upgrade to DirecTV. Call 1-800-DIRECTV.
So Aaron Papatella said in the chat that homeless are called urban outdoorsmen. You know, because it makes it sound like it's something more voluntary, more fun. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in to this Wednesday episode 284, Reshaping America, Redefining Words. You know, we've always known that President Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. has this way of misremembering his own record that is, shall we say, often unrelated to the truth. If you recall the great big story about Corn Pop and his 6-foot piece of chain that he was holding on to defend the swimming pool where kids were just rubbing the blonde hair on his legs, that he likes kids rubbing the hair on his legs. But I digress. You know, Biden and his team, they developed this strategy that purposely redefines words, and they describe things as they demonstrably are not. And in many cases, the media, they're helping them run along. The most obvious example is this invention of this new meaning of the word bipartisan. In Washington, D.C. and everywhere else, when a president speaks of bipartisan legislation, that means that it's something that's supported by members of both parties of Congress. But in Joe Biden's White House, however, the definition that is so yesterday. Anita Dunn, one of Biden's top advisors, she actually said this. She says, quote, "If you look up bipartisan in the dictionary, I think it would say support from Republicans and Democrats. It doesn't say Republicans have to be in Congress," end quote. And it's with that the D.C. dictionary was distorted. And that right there is what allows Biden to ram through his priorities through Congress with zero Republican votes, using the vague and arcane process called reconciliation while still claiming bipartisan support. Now, using Dunn's definition of bipartisan, Team Biden can also point to public opinion polls that show at least some Republican voter support, whatever it is Biden's trying to achieve. So there's another word that Biden's been over to serve his purpose, and it's called infrastructure. Might have heard of this one. It's been around for a minute, you know, and it has up until now been meant to really understood that projects like roads and bridges and railways and airports and seaports, those are things of infrastructure. But in Biden's infrastructure proposal, you know, spending those priorities accounts for about 7% of that $2.2 trillion price tag that helped push us into this inflation turmoil that we're in. Funding for home care workers, that is included, as is $50 billion for National Science Foundation to create something called a technology directorate. There's also subsidies for electric vehicles and, you know, for charging stations, which, by the way, we have this great big push for this whole green energy where we want to bring in these electric cars, when the reality of the matter is today, as we sit right now, our grid, our electric grid, cannot handle the load of charging stations. Some of you may have been reading the anecdotal conversation over in California where they're actually telling people, hey, you can only charge on these days for this during these times because our grid can only carry so much. I mean, those issues that Congress can certainly debate and they can approve on any given day, right? But they're not infrastructure. I mean, another way that Biden plays with the language and facts is he's setting milestones for himself that are already inevitable or easily achievable. Do you remember when he first took over, he had his goal to administer 100 million coronavirus vaccine doses in 100 days. He called it ambitious. And he imagined there would be this widespread press skepticism, but there was none. Why? Because the truth is, the United States is already on pace to meet that mark when Biden took office, something that Donald Trump, hate to say it out loud because I know we got a lot of Biden supporters out there, but that's something Donald Trump put into play. You know, the crisis at our southern border, it's a frequent victim of Biden's reshaping the facts to suit him. He claimed that this dramatic increase in migrants attempting to enter the country, it happens every single solitary year. But it's the surge in the number of unaccompanied minor children that's arriving at our southern border that's far higher than it has been in any year past, any years past before a Biden presidency. You know, I remember he claimed back in March of last year that he was sending back the vast majority of families attempting to cross the border, but that's untrue as well, because in the February right before he said that, less than half of the families that were turned away. It's in this instance that Biden, he'd rather eliminate the word from the dictionary than change its meaning. Crisis is not a way that the border situation is ever described in Biden world, except one accidentally by Press Secretary Jen Psaki, who was clearly unhappy to have let it slip. When asking for use of the newly declared non-word crisis reflected a change in the administration's view of the border, she said no. You know, riding to the team Biden's rescue, the Associated Press, they dutifully issued an internal memo instructing staff to avoid using the word crisis in their reporting to describe the scene at the southern border. Unless it's an inside quote from a person in a story, that is the only time they can say it. And finally, we've seen Biden attempt to undo every very recent history. We've seen him attempt to undo very recent history when things start to get controversial. Now, amid the conjured uproar over the Georgia's new election integrity law, Biden took to ESPN to tell a national televised audience that he strongly support moving Major League Baseball's Hall of Fame game or All-Star game from Atlanta. Now, after that push from the most powerful human being on the planet, the sport subsequently did exactly that, relocating the game to Denver. So you're to protest a voting rights law that you says hurts black voters, you move an All-Star game away from Atlanta with one of the highest black voter populations, people who could make money from this All-Star game, and you send it over to Denver. I mean, stepping up to the plate as a cleanup hitter, you know, a week later, Jen Psaki, again, she jumped right in, pretended that Biden didn't say what he said. In her retelling of it, Biden merely acknowledged that Major League Baseball had a right to do what they did. She says, quote, well, he supports them being able to make a decision and respond to what players' asks are, given many of them are impacted, of course, by these laws. Now, look, it's been said that he who defines the term wins the argument, and that's been said because it's true. Over the last several decades, the political and the cultural left in America, they've been on a crusade to redefine and prohibit words, in our common lexicon, to redefine the arguments in their favor to manipulate Americans into really subtly aligning themselves with their arguments out of pure reflex, survival. So, you know, I guess look at these words. You know, this is a list of words that I was able to find this morning. And I want you to stop for a moment. I want you to recognize how they're being used in our everyday political discussions and really how they're applied by our news media to bolster and prop up the less political agenda. You know, words like assault rifle. There's no such thing. No such thing as an assault rifle. I challenge anyone to tell me what an assault rifle is, because any or weapons of war, you know, I should have put that rather alongside of assault rifle, because there's no such creature. Undocumented migrant instead of illegal alien. That is another one that they've taken over. You know, common sense gun safety measures instead of using the word gun control. Why? Because they don't want common sense gun safety measures. They want gun control. They want to control who has guns. For those of you gun owners out there, if you're buying a firearm, if you're buying a gun or bullets, as of right now, a new code has been instituted for firearms and their bullets. So if you're going to make a purchase on your firearms, on firearms or bullets alone, now there is a code given to each one of those purchases. Why would they specifically put a code for a credit card purchase only for firearms or bullets? You know why. You know, living wage, they talk about instead of a minimum wage, and investment instead of government spending, and gender instead of sex, and universal background checks, and privilege and ally, and healthcare and infrastructure, complicit fascist, all these are hot button words. These are words they put in for the clickbait headlines that a lot of you dumbasses are quick to jump in and go, oh, well, this is real. But see, now comes the Biden administration forcing these new terms on the federal government to redefine whole categories of government responsibility and powers. So if infrastructure means something, anything other than roads, bridges, power grids, and water supplies, then it doesn't mean anything anymore. In the new world that we find ourselves in, infrastructure means every big government spending plan that results in government regulations or a handout that the left's been pining to implement for the past half century. The American people were recognizing that the federal government, they have some responsibility to our infrastructure, and we're all in favor, for the most part, of the government spending money on the upgrades to our roads and our highways and our bridges and dams and airports. That is infrastructure. The cynical members of the Democratic Party, they've decided to manipulate the argument over abortion and welfare and universal income and government-controlled health spending and every other scheme that they failed to implement in our lifetimes. They now wrap all of these socialist ideas under the broad multi-trillion dollar umbrella known as infrastructure, and they believe that they can ram it right through without any opposition. Because as long as a Republican voter in the polls supports the idea, that means it's bipartisan support. And they might be right. You know, these idiot Republicans in the Senate, you know, they may cower in fear over the potential televised ad that's accusing them of opposing basic infrastructure spending in their home state should they vote to oppose that giant government grab now proposes infrastructure spending by Biden's corrupt Democrats. Is Mitt Romney, for instance, is he incapable of communicating with the good people of Utah that he would have gladly voted for the new bridges and an upgrade to Salt Lake City's airport, but the Biden's bill? It's really just AOC's Green New Deal with a fresh coat of lipstick. So he was compelled to vote against it. Is that really so hard, Senator Romney? I mean, perhaps it is. But thankfully, most Republicans in the Senate, they know better. And it appears that there's a small handful of Democrats, but the details of the infrastructure bill, they're less important than the lie that it any real way, in fact, is an infrastructure bill. The argument that Republicans should be focusing on, it's insidious. It's an attempt to manipulate our language and voters by deceptively calling this thing an infrastructure bill in the first place. I mean, that's ground zero of the cultural debate that we're losing every single day. The latest example, it lies in the Biden administration's directive to federal agencies with regard to language for use of immigration policy. So NPR, the most trusted name in news, government, you know, publicly funded radio or publicly funded reporting, it celebrates the bastardization and deceptive manipulation of English language for political response. In their memorandum, they put out that the terms illegal alien and assimilation, they're out, replaced by undocumented non-citizen and integration. The new guidance is laid out in a pair of detailed memos sent Monday by the heads of the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement and the Customs and Border Patrol, or Customs and Border Protection, part of a broader effort by the Biden administration to roll back the previous administration's hardline policies and build on what they call a more humane immigration system. Do you see that line right there before I continue reading this statement, right? So this memo was sent out by the heads of ICE and the CBP to have a more humane immigration system. Change the words, you change the action. They go on to write that, quote, we set a tone and example for our country's partners across the world. Now, Troy Miller, the guy who's in charge of this memorandum, he's the top official of the CBP. He said that we enforce our nation's laws while also maintaining the dignity of every individual with whom we interact. The words we use matter and will serve to further confer that dignity to those in our custody. That's right. I mean, they're being honest about one thing here, that words we use do in fact matter, and the left knows it. That's why they're putting this priority on this sort of thing. I mean, how many times do we have to sit back and watch them do it? How many times do we have to sit back and hear them tell us how these words matter and how they're so important, and then they shrug and decide that we don't care because it doesn't matter? I mean, take a look at that list. Go back and watch the show. Look at that list of words again. Think about the heated political debates surrounding those words. I mean, do you feel confident in how we're doing in those debates? Do you think that we're gaining or we're losing ground? Me personally, I think we're losing ground a whole lot faster than we ever thought about gaining. I mean, do you still think that these words don't matter? Either words have meaning or they don't. And either events happened or they didn't. And just because Biden and his handlers try to maneuver around those truths, it doesn't mean the rest of us don't notice. But George Orwell would be proud of their efforts. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take our last commercial break. It's going to be about a minute 30. And we're going to come right back with you with one final thing. Man, I have this is a story you're not going to miss, guys. Stick around.
Brunch. $30.
Hey, that's okay, Wendy. That was a good carry. You're still the man. You're the man.
Latte. $4.
Ooh, take it off, Johnny. Rub some dirt on it.
New piano. $3,000.
All right, guys. They're not saying boo. They're saying movers.
Supporting your team. Priceless.
Come on, Bobby. You still got the best dog in the neighborhood.
There are some things money can't buy. For everything else, there's MasterCard.
This is BCAP.
Budweiser presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Really Bad Toupee Wearer.
Mr. Really Bad Toupee Wearer.
More than any neon sign or exploding scoreboard ever could, your chrome dome cover says, hey guys, look at me.
What could you be thinking?
You think it looks natural, but it couldn't look phonier if it had a chin strap.
I look at you.
Made of space-age fibers, it can repel anything. Rain, wind, snow, and especially young women.
I don't think so.
So crack open an ice-cold Budweiser, Mr. Stud in a Rug. Then crack open another for that thing on your head.
I don't think it's all straight.
I got myself my finger in my nose. I didn't. I was doing this. Anyway, all right. So, guys, welcome up. This is our last segment, and we're just about out of time. You know, I know this story is it's a little old, and it's from 2019. But I had to include it specifically in this segment here because I want to show you the consequences of the lunacy that we've allowed to take place in this world. In 2019, a transgender woman who sued beauticians for refusing to wax her for oh shit, I was afraid I'd do this. All right. In 2019 in 2019, a transgender woman who sued beauticians for refusing to wax her testicles has lost a human rights lawsuit. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Jessica Yaniv, 32 years old, right here on the screen here, complained that she had been refused a Brazilian waxing services at more than a dozen salons in Canada since 2018. So Jessica Yaniv brought a legal proceeding against five home-based female estheticians, they're waxing experts, if you will, who would not perform the treatment on her scrotum. Are y'all following me here? This person on my screen sued beauticians because they wouldn't do a Brazilian wax on her nuts, on her balls. I want you to hear that again because that is necessary. A transgender woman sued beauticians because they refused to wax her balls. You know, Yaniv is a male-to-female transgender woman who's not yet had the sexual reassignment surgery, which means Jessica has male genitalia. So Jessica claimed that women were discriminating against her based on gender identity and gender expression. And Yana filed various complaints against the estheticians in the Vancouver area, causing one of them to go out of business because she was seeking as much as $15,000 in damage from each beautician. The female beauticians, they argued that they were not trained to perform a Brazilian on male genitalia, and it could have caused serious injury to the customer. I think any man who has balls could probably, they would heed that warning. Hey, this ain't meant to pull on beanbags, all right? You probably shouldn't do that. you know, so a Brazilian, I didn't know this until I read it today because, you know, I don't tend to fancy these types of procedures. For myself, anyway, but a Brazilian is what happens when you remove the majority of the pubic hair, except for a very thin line. So Jessica's mad because no one would. How do you report this where it's just not vulgar? But Jessica is mad because she wants a thin line of hair right down the beanbag, right down the coin purse, and because no one would give it to them, they're discriminating. Now, some of the beauticians argue that they should not be forced to touch male genitals if they don't want to, and other cited religious reasons. So this was a very specific attack. You know, this person found a way to exploit the system. The Human Rights Tribunal up in Canada, they ruled in favor of the beauticians who come from a diverse ethnic backgrounds. And the verdict stated this. It says, quote, human rights legislation does not require a service provider to wax a type of genitals they're not trained for and have not consented to wax. End quote. Now, the decision also found that Yaniv engaged in improper conduct and filed complaints for improper purposes. The Human Rights Tribunal member Devin Kozenow wrote, quote, the most likely scenario that Ms. Yaniv was trying to make the estheticians feel uncomfortable or awkward for her own amusement as a form of revenge. Now, the ruling added that Yaniv had deliberately targeted these small businesses for personal gain. In many of these complaints, she's also motivated to punish radicalized and immigrant women based on her perception that certain ethnic groups are taking over and they're advancing their agenda, their hostile agenda, or agenda hostile to the interest of the LGBTQ+. The tribunal ordered Yaniv to pay $2,000 to each of the three estheticians represented. You know, my thing is, look, if Jessica Yaniv wants a Brazilian, instead of going out there and instead of fighting the power and having hairy balls, why don't you just shave your nuts like the rest of the females do? I'm just saying. If you want a Brazilian, just give yourself a Brazilian. Shave your balls like the rest of the women do, right? But ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for me. I appreciate you taking the time out of your Wednesday to join this episode of the Philip D. Blackman Show. Guys, thank you to this show right here. We seek to not only provide that middle ground analysis, but to remain consistent to the inconvenient truth. This country is getting turned on its head because we're redefining language that doesn't make sense to any of us. And hey, Laura Harlow, I love the play in words. I see what you did there. She says in the chat, she says, this is nuts. I see what you did there, Laura, and good for you. You win the internet for today. We are a supporter of free speech, free thinking, and we're a dedicated enemy to hypocrites, liars, promoters of mob justice, raising bigotry. So until next time, friends, thank you so much for your service and your patriotism to this country without our men and women in uniform. Our veteran community, great Americans like yourself, our country would be a very different place. We are the only ones who stand between freedom and chaos. So as always, friends, don't let your dog tags dangle in the dirt. Stay on your feet and continue to fight that good fight against everything that's wrong. If you love your freedom, think a veteran. If you love your peace, think a police officer. And if you see a first responder, give them a high five and a handshake and tell them, job well done. Thank you for doing all the hard work that you do when so many people have forgotten about the sacrifices that you have made. God bless each and every one of you. God bless the United States of America. Take care of yourselves, friends. Catch me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time right here. Guys, Friday, I have to attend a funeral of a service member of one of my brothers. So we will be running a replay of we'll be running a replay Friday because I will be in the Dallas area for a funeral. So guys, Lord willing, the creeks don't rise. We'll be back Monday, 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time on Pulse Talk Radio, broadcast out in the UK. Guys, my name is Philip Blackman. Y'all take care of yourselves. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And man, hold the line. Hold the ground and don't let these bastards try to gaslight you to convince you that what you're seeing and what you're hearing, there's something wrong with it. Because if it feels wrong, chances are it probably is. Stay the course, ladies and gentlemen. The best we can do. My name is Philip Blackman, and I'm out of here. Oh.